Hello, I'm Karen Carniel, scientific editor at Cell, and you're listening to a Cell Paperclip. We've probably all done something we've jokingly referred to as a bit obsessive-compulsive. But obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD, can be a debilitating condition, characterized by repetitive behaviors that disrupt daily routines and relationships, and in extreme cases, cause physical harm. OCD behavior can be modeled in mice that groom themselves repeatedly until they wind up with bald spots and lesions. A surprising set of findings, published in the May 28th issue of Cell, links the OCD behavior in such a mouse strain to defects in their bone marrow. Joining us is the senior author on the study, Dr. Mario Capecchi of the University of Utah School of Medicine. Dr. Capecchi, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Well, thank you for providing the opportunity.
Let's start with getting some background. Before you made a connection between OCD behavior and bone marrow in the strain of mice that you're studying, what did we know about why these mice groom so excessively?
Very little. All we knew was that a mutation in the Hox gene, HoxB8, caused this excessive grooming. And grooming is actually an important behavior in the sense that it's used to shed pathogens. And what we found was that normal mice spend over a 24-hour period approximately 2 hours grooming, whereas these mutant mice spend about 4 hours grooming. But most importantly, it's pathological. That is, what happens is that it leads to hair loss and then eventually actually to laceration at the overgroomed sites.
And then what led you to look at their bone marrow?
What led us is that we tried to figure out what cells were expressing HoxB8 in the brain. And then we look in the brain, and the only cells that are labeled, which was quite a surprise, was microglia.
And microglia are brain cells derived from the bone marrow?
That's right. There actually turns out to be two sources of microglia in the mouse. One, it seems to be a population that's present very early during embryogenesis, before vascularization, and a second population enters the brain after birth, and that is of bone marrow origin, and particularly monocytes, myeloid lineage.
And then you followed up these observations with some bone marrow transplant experiments. Tell us about that.
So the hypothesis was that if it was microglia, then maybe we should be able to actually cure the mouse with bone marrow transplant. And so that's the challenge I made to my graduate students who first showed that the HoxB8 is expressed in microglia. I said, well, then do bone marrow transplants. And we did them, and it worked. And that was a really surprise, because here, all of a sudden, we're changing a behavior by introducing bone marrow cells.
Yeah, quite remarkable. Now, have other studies shown a link between bone marrow and the brain?
There has been extensive literature showing that there is a relationship between the immune system and neuropathologies. And this extends to depression, major depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, OCD, autism, Alzheimer's. All of these neuropsychiatric diseases had a link with the immune system, but nobody knew why. And then people did association studies, and that became even more compelling. And what we have found is that we have a direct linkage. That is, we have mice that have a defined behavior, and now we can show that, in essence, by bone marrow transplant, we can correct this behavior, and thereby showing a linkage.
So what's going on here? Are there any ideas on how the loss of HoxB8 from these microglia generates the obsessive grooming behavior?
There are a number of possibilities. One possibility would be one of the things that microglia do is produce cytokines. And these cytokines could actually directly interact with neurons to either increase activity or decrease activity. So that's one possible linkage. More interestingly, recently, for example, Wade et al. Have shown that microglia, everybody knew, produce these long extensions, and they sort of actually look like neurons. But what they found was that these extensions are moving very dynamically all the time, and in particular, they're spending time at synapses. And further, the amount of time spent at the synapse is actually proportional to the activity present in that synapse. So that indicates that there's somehow they may be sensing activity, and if they're sensing activity, they may also be modulating activity. So I think there are now many possibilities, and the next wave will be to actually try to figure out how do microglia actually control behavior.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, and congratulations on a really fascinating paper.
Oh, thank you very much, and it's a great pleasure, and we're very excited with these results.
Mario Capecchi is a professor of genetics at the University of Utah School of Medicine. You can check out the paper by Chen et al. In the May 28th issue of Cell, or online at cell.com. I'm Karen Carniel, and you've been listening to a Cell Paperclip.